Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. We are back with another spooky season episode of Mike Flanagan's The Midnight Club, episode 5, titled See You Later, and episode 6, titled Witch. I am just dying to crush this show. I'm dying. Mm-hmm. I need to get through it. I'm so excited to watch it. It's getting better and better every episode. I'm falling more and more in love with these characters. I don't want to say goodbye. They're super bonded by the end of 6. I mean, come on. That is the definition of friendship and love. And I'm like, give me more. And at this point, I feel like they're going to cure somebody.
Like Anya's getting cured for sure.
Yeah.
Think so?
Well,
I'm hoping so. I don't know.
That's a good question.
I'm sure there's some type of like payoff or price,
catch,
I should say.
Yes.
Yeah. It's fucking nuts though. This show is great. I mean, I one adore the story that's happening at Brightcliff. Like the kids are really like the meat of the mystery, figuring out what's going on there. But I just, you know, love the setup where you get a mini show inside of a show each mm-hmm. episode with the storytelling. It's just quick little one-off, like almost creative writing pieces, and they're just so fun to just like binge through. And exactly what you're saying, Kathleen, I just want to keep going. And especially after like this one was like almost the worst way episode to break in between, because the cliffhanger was nuts.
Yeah.
You could argue it was the best one because now we can guess what's going to happen. Like, I'm sure that's going to dictate a lot of our later conversations. But yeah, these two episodes were freaking awesome. See You Later, the first one we're going to talk about, has my favorite story so far. It didn't even feel like horror. It was more like Black Mirror, but it was still freaking awesome. And then episode 6 is the first one, I think, where we get multiple stories, multiple mm-hmm. ghosts in one episode. And that was cool because I'm still so invested in Kevin's story about Dusty. Yes. And it's awesome that we're going to get a part 3 down the line, hopefully, as long as we're all alive, you know? So it's just so fun. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show, the Netflix show that came out probably like a couple years ago. I think it was called Manic, and it was the Emma Stone and Jonah Hill.
Oh, like, yeah.
Weird. Yeah.
Maniac.
So Maniac. Sorry. Maniac. While that show was like not that great, it was still entertaining because each episode you got an adventure, and it was exactly like this.
Just
something. Yeah, I know. Me too. It's just something fresh every time you go in because you have the backdrop of this awesome mystery and these characters that we're growing to love, plus a fun story every time. So these episodes were great, and I'm ready to talk about them.
All right. So as usual, we open at the close. So Anya is hurting at the end of last episode. She's tipped over, whether a shadow pushed that bitch over or she fell over but she's so little. I would assume like if she were to just pass out, the wheelchair wouldn't just fall over. You know what I mean? Anyway, mm-hmm. we open with Alanka trying to resuscitate her. She does come to, and then the next scene is really Alanka being mad that no one told her that Anya had a DNR, which is a really interesting concept. I mean, obviously, I know what a DNR is, but a DNR, like as Stan says, is like to an extent, like, I mean, if you could get her back. But I feel like people want a DNR if they're going to come back and be
lose function.
Yeah. So that was interesting. Obviously, that's something that's really prevalent in the house like that. But I thought that was an interesting scene. What'd you guys think?
I never even thought about it. And them just bringing it up, I'm never in a situation when I need to think about that. And it's funny because my girlfriend's literally a nurse. But anyway, it's just a really interesting concept, exactly what you're saying, for that house. Like, and like a moral, philosophical question. Do you resuscitate them or not?
I want to talk about what the implications of how Stanton treated all of this, because to me, like, these two episodes are making me feel like, well, yes, she has to be involved or know something on like a shady level. why would she want Anya to have been like, I don't get it. If there's an angle where she is either somehow connected to Julia or the cult and she knows about all this, I don't get it. Like she's so good at playing both sides. I don't know if she's actually evil, and maybe she truly is just a red herring for all of us to be like, damn, like it was never her. It was always Shasta Pasta that was our bad guy there.
Paul, I don't know about you, but after these two, I was like, she's just oblivious. She has no idea.
Yeah, she might be.
They pretty much say, I guess Stan didn't even know there was a basement. Julia found it, not Stan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She bought this place, didn't look at the blueprints, didn't even know there was a basement.
I can't get a read on her.
I know, me too.
She's had like one or two scenes in the beginning few episodes where she like reacts to the name Julia Jane. But like besides that, she hasn't really done anything like, you know, super questionable, you know, besides mm-hmm. not giving the information of the do not resuscitate. But I don't know. I feel like that would be something on the introduction packet.
I think there's a world where she is aware of like the ghosty weird shit that's happening in the house, but actually does want to do good with these kids. Like, I think there could be a world where she's aware of something, but like in general, she's a decent person.
Isn't that kind of like the Dudleys from Hill House? Like they knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they weren't bad. Yeah. It could be mm-hmm. kind of like that.
Yeah. Like Clara was yelling at Nell at some point, different things. And Hot Mama was like, okay. Or mm-hmm. I guess it was Steven, maybe she was yelling at. But anyway, so then Alanka goes to apologize to Anya, and Anya is like clearly scared and in denial about what she saw, the shadow that stood up out of the chair before she quote unquote died, sort of basically. And at this point, she's denying it, and she's just scared. But she blames being high. And then mm-hmm. just a quick little cute scene, we'll combine them. Sherry, so goofy and dorky, has like two of my favorite, like very funny moments in these two episodes. One being when she just like grabs Alanka's head and measures it. And you know, she's going to make a wig because they say throughout the series, like, don't say anything about the wig. She's very sensitive about it. And I called it in last episode, my hot take, my House of the Dragon hot take of last episode was Sherry's telling the truth about every single thing.
I agree with that take. I think yeah. you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. But then she ends up giving her the wig. And I loved last episode or episode four when Alanka is talking about how much she misses her hair, and it brings you back to being reminded that these people are missing parts of their lives. They're missing things that were parts of them, and it's sad. So I'm glad she did that. It was really cute and a good friendship mm-hmm. moment. The Paragon Diary, when they do shit like this, it always reminds me of like, I mean, it's not drawn out like this, but when Hermione does the Deathly Hallows mm-hmm. exposition type thing with the animations. So this is the Paragon Diary. So this is Athena's diary, which ends up being Regina Ballard, who is like the Paragon cult leader at that point. Daughter. She has the diary. Ilanka is narrating. She talks about how cults were big in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, but the Paragon was the worst of the worst. So Regina's husband and son had died. So she created this kind of like wellness, sort of kind of like what Shasta's doing, which is like a very similar parallel, but it ends up going absolutely off the rails. And she starts doing blood sacrifices. And eventually all the kids escape, Athena leading them out. But everyone else but Regina dies during mm-hmm. the cult. And I can just like rip through the five goddesses, which are the five sisters. So there's Panacea, the goddess of universal health, Hygieia, goddess of cleanliness, Iaso, I might have typed that wrong, goddess of recuperation, Algia, goddess of beauty, and Aseo, goddess of the healing process, which is Regina. That is her. So that's mm-hmm. where we land at the end of episode 6, which is fucking insane, and we'll get there. But of course, our boy Kevin is absolutely skeptical, as per usual. I mean, I'd be a little skeptical of this one too, because it's a cult. But what did you think about all of this?
You guys talked a lot about Kevin being sketchy last episode, and I agree. Like, yeah. I even said that at the end of episode 4, he had his first flag moment, red flag moment. There is a moment that happens later that makes, like, when the ritual comes into play where he's actually all for it. So it makes me question, like, is it just him being a skeptical human of just saying, like, maybe this won't work, or is he actually sketchy? So that made it a little bit confusing. But I want to talk about Athena for a second, because this adds another person to the board of who Shasta could be. Yeah, Shasta could also technically still be Regina too. Like, there's so many.
She would grow up to be Shasta, but that wasn't 1940 is when they escaped. So unless
but they
she's
also
like,
say that it granted the cultists granted her a very, very long life, which sure. seems like that could play into that. And then also Stanton could be either of these characters as well. It feels like they did put more on the table, where now guesses aren't as easy as just saying Shasta is Julia.
Totally. If Shasta is Athena, do you think that she would be so gung-ho with having Alanka do the ritual? Because it seems like at the point of Athena was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. My mom's nuts doing all this mm-hmm. shit, you know? But maybe this was like the good parts of it. I'm not sure.
Well, did we ever see what happened to Athena? Was the mother, the leader of the cult, correct?
No, Regina was the...
Regina was Athena's the 16-year-old daughter who the Paragon Diary belongs to.
Gotcha. So did we ever see what happened to Regina? We saw all the adults dead and she was in the middle alive and the cops came. But we didn't see her dead, right? Do we assume she got arrested?
Didn't they say that she went back to using a different name, so they kind of lost the record? Or was that about Julia? I don't remember who that was about, but I thought that was about Regina. I could be wrong. She could still be alive, though.
Okay. The only reason I asked that is, like, maybe Regina was the old lady that Alanka keeps seeing because she's there and needs to feed on, like, the blood or whatever that mm-hmm. she was drinking wow. during the ritual.
I don't hate it.
Just because, yeah, like we're saying, she could be Shasta, but like, I don't know, that so much has to go right. And with the whole time, and plus Shasta's like Julia Jane, right? Did we?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like yeah. going down that road real hardcore. So, yeah. So I'll do a little dance because I missed last episode. but yeah, that was my guess because I'm trying to figure out who the fuck this old lady is. And I'm going to kind of stick with Regina right now.
I like it.
So one other thing, little detail I missed, the hourglass. It represents being able to turn it over time and time again. So you get more time, more time, more time. So Shasta ends up saying later when we see the tattoo reveal on her wrist, this isn't from the Paragon. This is from before, like a more ancient thing. So Shasta is like in the Paragon, but believes in the ritual of it all anyway. So whoever she is, that's where we're at. And so that's why I'm thinking she's Julia Jane still. I would like a twist, though. I would like a little more of a twist.
I'm sure Jimmy wrote an essay just off that one scene itself, and he's probably pissed he can't tell us his 10 theories that he came up with.
I know. Agreed. Okay, so now we get Amesh's death day, which is the best. Like, this guy is the coolest of the whole group, but everyone goes along with it. It's basically a beach funeral for his death day. He wrote his own eulogy speech, which Spence reads out, and Amesh wants him to read it exactly how he wrote it, which is just so funny. He ends up burying his funeral suit. There's like a lot of really cute moments that happen during it, but what'd you guys think of the whole beach scene?
I was getting mad. The Wilds vibes.
Yeah, like, right?
Their birthday scenes on the beach and stuff like that. True, bunch of kids just rocking it. I loved it. Like you said, Amesh is definitely the coolest. You know, some people might like see him as quirky or a little weird, but he is just so funny. Right away, too, was really personable. This whole speech was great in the monologue that he kind of gives about my parents like this suit. This is what I'm supposed to wear. But like, I didn't like this, and pulls out a T-shirt like game or die. Like, that's fucking awesome. Like, yeah, this is more like me. So I just thought overall it was I liked the mesh in this episode, just catapulted him up way higher.
Is this where we got the first confirmation of his sickness? Because they say he's basically very prone to seizures and can die. His brain's like kind of decaying in that way. I don't know if they said his sickness earlier.
This is the first time I'm hearing it or remembering it, at least.
And that makes sense, because that cleared up my observation from episode one or two when they were in the cafeteria and you saw the mark on his neck. Because if they're doing like brain scans or something like that, I'm sure that all makes sense. So, you know, that tracks. One thing I wanted to ask you guys is, do you think like his sickness is one that can really just come and kill you almost like instantly, because was he not the new person until Alanka got there, but now he's passing his death day. So he must have been given a very short life expectancy for him to do this. And that makes it even sadder, because I'm actually starting to get a little worried. He can just wake up at any time and just die. And he needs to bang Natsuki before that happens, because come on, that's just going to happen.
This was a great episode for her too.
Yeah, she's great. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, while we're talking about that, since the Anya episode, she had been holed up in a room with clinical depression. Seems like she's had it for a while. So again, another thing that is very realistic for somebody who would be in this situation, and for literally anybody, clinical depression is all over the place. So I love that. Obviously it's in the 90s. So it's not, she says, I didn't even know there was a name for it before they said it. So it's like mental health awareness is not as prevalent as it is right now in 2022. So I love that. I mean, it's so cute between Amesh and Natsuki. Like, you're fucking kidding me. Everyone's high as balls. It's so good. So Sandra funny, high, man. So funny. Everyone, like Spence just being like, Sandra is high as fuck. Like, it's great. It's so funny.
Their conversations about Stanton were amazing. Just like they're going right down the rabbit hole and they're just baked.
What if they just like told us the entire plot though? They were like, Stanton brings us all here to feed off of our death. Yeah. Really? What if that's just straight up, they're giving us the answer? To continue off of Amesh, he was slurring his words not too long ago in like episodes 3 and 4. And I thought that was kind of a sign of his like brain, you know, failing him. So I was thinking he could drop any second, which would be just heart wrenching. Yeah, I mean,
I caught that.
Yeah, he was slurring once or twice, and sometimes he would correct himself. Subtitles, it would even say like, you know, slurred words and then like corrected. So I was getting nervous because he's a great character, and I'd hate to lose him. Oh, the PlayStation. Cherie, man. Oh, yes. Just so awesome. She's like really shining these past few. She was like under the radar in the beginning, but she's just being a good person lately.
This is some ammo that she is telling the truth.
Right?
Like, this has got to be hard to get. It'd be like getting a PlayStation 5 today. Impossible.
Yeah, totally.
And she's actually the bad one, and she can just get these anywhere because she's the devil.
I mean, she could. Oh.
So just before we get to his story, Amesh says he wants two things before he dies: to get the girl and save the world. So it kind of plays into the rest of it. Oh, and he also talks about how devastated and scared he is to die before seeing his parents again, which I think is just heart-wrenching. Yeah. And love that guy. He's the best. But before we get to story time, Alanka comes out of the bathroom to see the old scary lady standing over on his bed, follows her into the old timey house. And then Kevin is there, which honestly, I'm still up in the air even after a second watch. I mean, it is midnight, so obviously they meet there, right? But he did seem like kind of not taken aback, but that maybe he was seeing something too. I'm not sure. Do you guys think he was just there because of Midnight Club, or do you think he was seeing something as well?
He's sketchbag, right? Like, they're lining him up to be one of the options of who's all behind this, just because of the visions alone. Like, I don't know if the visions are trying to lead her to the truth or just craziness, because they kept showing him on a bench. You know, that was one of the first scenes we got. And we don't really get any of the other teens in the house in those visions. It's really just him. I mean, we got them all dead that one time, but that was about it. So, I mean, this lining him up too, I just feel like he could be the one that's living forever. He was like one of the kids that ran away when with Athena.
I don't think that could be the case because of the whole homecoming thing. Yeah, the family thing. He went to homecoming. Like, he was an enrolled student before he got leukemia. So that's what makes it weird. But yeah, this is the second time where Alanka goes on this trippy, just reality warping walk, and the ghost that comes up to her turns directly into him. So I think it's just red herring again. Like, I hate to keep throwing that word around because you say it almost every podcast episode, but Flanagan does that. Like, he does that on purpose because it's such a good plot device. And I just think Kevin, like, he's definitely guaranteed to live for a while until we get the end of Dusty's story, like, or else that just has no payoff. So that could be something where he tells that end of that story and it somehow connects to how crazy he is. I don't know. There's something there. But as of right now, like, all the other people were in the room. If he was the first one at the Midnight Club to arrive and then, like, the others walked in, I would have been more sketchy. But once she came to, they were in the background. So it's not like when Alanka walked into the room, into the library, like, they were already, I don't know. I just think it's more red herring.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say about the stories that we're getting and Dusty is that everybody's story seems to be pulling from a little bit of truth from their background somewhere. And, like, I don't know. I'm just the way he portrays Dusty and giving these details of, like, hearing these voices and telling him to do things. It's just so creepy. And, like, I really hope that's not the little bit of truth in his story. And, like, he's actually crazy and, like, hears voices telling him to do stuff.
I think Spence is like, damn, my boy Dusty's just fucking doing it. And he's like, he doesn't want to. He never wants to. Like, he's like defending him. Like, he's like, no, he never wants to. Mm-hmm. As if it's a self-doing shit like that. So,
and I think Amesh even says, I'll give you credit, dude. Like, you're making me feel bad for a kid who's killed a class full of little girls or teenage girls or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's he's just sketchy.
Jimmy nailed it where I can't not think about Dexter now. I think, like, that's just the perfect summation of it. I was like, holy shit, why didn't we think of that earlier? Before we jump into Amesh's story, the only other thing I wanted to ask about is, do you think it was symbolic at all that that ghost was standing over Anya? And do you think it was just a coincidence, or, like, does each kid that's being haunted have their own specific ghost, or was that purposeful for Alanka to see and follow? I'm really trying to put the clues together there, because it felt like, what was the ghost doing just standing above Anya? Maybe, like Paul's saying, it could be literally Regina, like, absorbing and feeding off of the kids dying. And that kind of actually makes a lot more sense now that I'm saying it out loud than...
Yeah.
I had no idea of why the ghost was there.
But I'm all in on that.
But my only guess was, like, Anya was, like, the closest to death. Natsuki, given that whole talk in therapy when she's like, death lives here, death feeds off you, or whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But maybe that old lady can only feed when the person dies, and Anya's the closest to death. So she's, like, basically looking in the microwave, waiting for her food to be ready.
Good analogy. I like that. Okay. One last thing. Me and Jimmy were pissed last episode that Spence never brought up the intercom thing.
Yep.
And that he fucked it up in the first place. He brings it up in this episode, but I still don't think he's riding for it as hard as he should. The person said, hey, Spence, wait. And he ran away. And then the voice, which is who we believe to be as Tristan, was like, well, now I can't do it. Mark's here. Fuck.
Yeah.
You know? Like, she said, no, wait, or something like that. Like, no, come back. I got things to say. Like, she has proof. So I don't know. And then Amesh does a little twist on the toast. So toast to those days before and to those after, to these days now and to those days beyond, seen or unseen, here or not here. Cheers, everybody. Love to see it. Anything before we jump in?
Yeah, Mike Flanagan loves the name Luke.
Yeah, he does.
It's in everything.
We got, Hill House. We got right here. It's great.
I love that shit.
The only other line, I'm trying to take less notes because I feel like I ramble too much whenever I have stuff written. So I try to take less notes, but I had to take note of time to fuck off, evil brownie. And it's Alanka just trying to study her notes, but she's like trying to get on high. I was just cracking up.
You're like, been there. Okay, so I don't know how much we want to dive into this. Amesh's story is the best. It's based on him in the way where he programs video games, just like either Amesh wants to or does. I don't know if Amesh just currently has ideas for video games or if he's currently actually doing it. But the best part about it is our boy Raul Coley thrown in the mix, just like the best guy in the world. And he's so good in this. And I would have watched a whole show just on this backstory.
Yeah, this was Black Mirror. Like, this, it's way more Black Mirror than horror. I said it earlier. It was a really good twist. Like, I felt dumb not guessing that Luke and Vincent were the same person, even after we found out about Becky and Kara being the same person and like the Ray Frederick thing. It was just, it was so well done for such a short story. And it was awesome. And it ends with angels, right, for Sandra, who misses it, but still sweet.
How poetic is that? That is just ridiculous. I just loved Raul Coley. I mean, Michael Trucco too. He was, you know, the crazy Frederick in the future. I love him. It was great to see him back. And it's just the cameos and like the little Flanagan family tree that we're planning now of like little different cameos we can get. I love it.
So and I don't know anyone else getting plot of the 100 vibes stuck on the space station?
Similar.
Yeah, that was nice.
And it's literally like Prime Fire. You saw like at parts where the whole Earth was encompassed. It was just, again, so well done. I can't believe that I'm saying that the least scary one is the best Midnight Club ghost story told, but that's also until we get the end of Dusty's, because I've been very interested in that, and I need to, and also the end of Alanka's witch story, because they both seem pretty interesting, but we need to get conclusions before we can rank those.
Is it safe to say that this was the best story told? Because Natsuki's in episode one. Did you see Guinness World Record?
Yes,
I did see that.
It was like the most jump scares in like 30 seconds, and it was like 17 or fucking something ridiculous.
I was scared for every one of them, so I love that.
It's funny.
Like Natsuki's story was that episode's called The Final Chapter, so we missed the whole story, so we only got the end. I would have liked to see the beginning, but that's crazy that they won. There's no shot they were actually doing that. I'm sure someone who saw the show prior was like, oh shit, that's got to be a record, and then and then contacted somebody from there. But
so cool.
I loved it. And Amesh wanted to get the girl and save the world, and he figured out how to do it. And it's also the heart condition. Like, it kind of reminded me of the next story that Alanka tells about you could see the future, but you shouldn't change it type deal. Except in this one, he does change it and lives through. Yeah. I don't know. Lots of twists, lots of turns.
Sloppy time travel rules, but that's totally just like, because it's not important. It's like supposed to be kind of like a kid making the story.
Actually, I was thinking that I loved when old Ray, I forget it, Frederick, remembering new memories. Like, I know she's acting up because my younger self is like interacting with her and I can remember it in my brain, which is cool. Cause I feel like I never see that in time travel stuff. It's always like, I'm just waiting to disappear. If I screw something up, I'll just disappear or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, you should watch Dark.
I've seen season one. Poor Sandra missed the angels. That was the best. As we move forward past Amesh's story, Anya wets the bed and Alanka takes care of her, and we get this. Of course, she doesn't want Alanka to help her, but eventually she gives in and Anya opens up and finally lets her walls come down and tells the story. And Anya's story from previous episode is almost exactly like her life. And all she did was add a slight metaphor of the devil in it. You know, that's all she did. The ballet thing was the same. They traveled, and then it's a sad story of, she snuck out, her parents went to find her, and they die. So you think if you never snuck out that one night, your parents would still be here. You blame yourself forever. And you become Anya, who's very protective of people, but also just like the hardest exterior of all time because she doesn't want to let people in. So I thought that was a great backstory. Confirmed that her legit story she told is almost completely her life, down to the statue that Jimmy called. It was the same leg. Oh, Paul called it was the same leg on the statue that she throws at her best friend. Same thing. So great call, Paul. I thought it was episode 3. So that's why I said Jimmy. I guess it was episode 2 that happens in. Good call.
Even more impressive.
So I think the biggest thing that I got away from that talk and that interaction is she looks at Alanka and she's like, I don't want to die. Like, I want to live. And she kind of like breaks down there. And also in the spirit of keeping your Anya has been there the whole time and she's a part of the ghost situation, Kathleen, she didn't say what year it was when her parents went out looking for her and skidded on ice and died. So maybe that happened, but it was like 1910 and like super long time ago.
It's true.
So yeah. I'm keeping that in the back pocket. And for the sake of the theory.
Love that. And one last thing, we get the smooch of a lifetime. Amesh gets the girl and she's the one who makes the move. Adore that, because he's just such a sweet boy and she just jumps on that, which I love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our guy.
Love that. I love that they didn't go to bed without anything. They got a little smooch.
I was like, turn around, turn back around. All right. Next episode, Pitch. It's a double feature. We open with Kevin's part two of the story. So we open with Dusty over a girl, smashes her. And then all of a sudden the little brother walks in and he's like, fuck. And they struggle a little bit. And then he ends up killing him as well, which obviously is like not something you wanted to do. Seems like this is the episode we get where it's all women he kills. I actually haven't paused with everyone in it to see who's behind, like screaming when he sees everyone he's killed. But in this story, when my mom says a name, like the girls don't deserve it. The girls never deserve it. He says the girls as if it's like always going to be a teenage girl or something like that.
Yeah.
Is it not? That's what I was confirming.
Totally I didn't know until this episode that was that. I thought he was just like anyone that any name they said, all right, I'm about to beat your fucking face in, you know?
Anyway. I have two comments for this story. One is I loved that. I mean, I guess it's just kind of timely with Netflix having just dropped the Evan Peters Dahmer thing, but they're talking about how many kills this guy has, this Dexter, this Bay Harbor butcher, right? And they're like, more than Dahmer, less than Bundy. It's just like a cool little line that they throw in there because serial killers are it right now, apparently. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up was I thought that the mom in this part of the story was the single creepiest thing that the show has done so far. And I like, it was one of those things where I had to just kind of like look behind me just for reassurance, just for, you know, just to be a little bit more comfortable. And I was like, damn, she is creepy as fuck.
You know how the cameos of our like ultra stars, like Hot Mama, they're supposed to be in here. What are the chances that she was the mom just in crazy amount of makeup?
It can't be true. Nah. I know Carla Gugino.
I know what her body looks like.
That can't be. That's our Hot Mama.
I was waiting for that to be like somebody because, I mean, it means not a whole lot, but she's coming back multiple episodes because he's telling the story off Dusty over multiple episodes. So I was like, I don't know. We'll maybe see her.
Well, wasn't she actually his mother? Like, that's the mother's actor from the family?
Yeah. Yeah, probably her. Right. Well, that's Hot Mama in a bunch of makeup.
Obviously, Kevin is drawing such inspiration from Alanka in real life to cast her in his story as Sheila, who's just digging and digging. And it's exactly how Alanka would be in real life. And it's just making me be like, Kevin's a bad guy. If Alanka is so true, Kevin is so true.
He is fucking Etch-a-Sketch, dude. He is suspect number one.
Since we're not going to get a chance to do this because usually the stories are self-contained, let's just quickly put it on the board of does Dusty kill Sheila?
No, I think she kills him.
Yeah, I was going to say she figures him out first and like gets him in a trap or whatever.
Okay, I'm in. But I'm going to say that Dusty kills the shit out of her. Horrible ending.
Hammer?
Yeah.
Detective Stanton, I couldn't tell if she was on to him or not by that Einstein questioning.
Yeah, she was reacting weird to some, and then she would act completely oblivious with her next question.
I mean, here's the real question. This has been an open serial killer case for 40 years. Obviously, that's not Kevin, been alive for 40 years. What do you think? You think this serial killer kind of thing has been passed along to people and they just kill it with the same MO? Or do you have any theories about that?
Is what the same MO is just the symbol that gets passed down when the bodies get left there?
I guess the symbol and no body.
If it is, it's got to be ghost related rather, which obviously most of these things are, rather than like Dusty just being a psycho that's being manipulated. Like, it has to be more than that if it's going to transcend decades.
Yeah.
But no, I have no fucking guess, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Is Dusty just stay young forever? AKA he stays young forever in the real world. And that's why he's like a ghost.
Maybe.
Yeah, but I don't know, because like all the bodies would be in the same cave then, right? Because that's where he takes them and buries them, like on this weird road. So I don't know.
All right. Next, Alanka, she says, if y'all are ready for it, I've got a double feature. And everyone's like, let's go. They love that. Like, been a while. So she tells a story about magic, love, family, fate, and a girl who wants to save somebody. This is so classic Alanka. She just is like such a lover and a healer, wants to do anything she can to fix people. And I think she says, we'll get to it, but she says like she would literally do anything to save the people in this at Brightcliff, right? So it's scrying. It's cool. It's like they're witchy, right? They have the ability to see the future, but you don't want to change it. And the one warning that her mom heeds is don't scry at night. And then of course she's like, we have plenty of time for me to explain why. Dies. Dies. Like classic. But now it's just a back and forth of she sees Kevin's character get shot. So now she's trying to avoid that and it ends up happening anyway. But then it gets cut off by Anya's head just fucking hitting the table, passing out. So it was an interesting story. I liked it. It fit Alanka.
Yeah.
I want way more though.
Yeah, of course.
It was drawing such parallels and I couldn't tell if it was like just the coincidence. Like Alanka with her scrying, she saw, I forget his name, in the scrying story. But it's Kevin, right?
Like Ben. Mm-hmm. It's Ben.
Like she sees him in that story in a vision and then meets him. And then like in real life, she saw him in a vision and then meets Kevin at Brightcliff. And then she's also telling a story about doing anything, intervening and helping will cause consequences. And then this episode, she's like, oh, well, if you do this ritual, we can intervene there. I don't see consequences. And it's like, didn't you just give us a story about this earlier this episode? So I don't know. It was just so many similarities between her story there. And I don't know if it was coincidence or not, but
I'm pretty good on that story. I just want to point out Anya looks insanely different and crazy with that. Just like her look in the car.
Yeah. Now we're in therapy. Everyone's big sad. And Spence and Natsuki hope that Anya goes easy, gentle, and quick. And Alanka says, no, like, we've got to fight. I'm waiting on cancer with a Molotov and a machete. Such a dope line. She says she hopes Anya runs into its old wrinkly, ugly face with her rips. That's why I was like, my notes are saying with her fucking teeth. It's good.
Yeah.
But she doesn't care what it costs. She'd burn the world down to save any of them.
Yeah. And then Stanton does the whole, like, you can't fight gravity line, which basically pissed all over her fighting monologues and stuff like that. And that's what sends her off into the woods. But, you know, I don't know. Stanton, like, she's acting so weird here. And, like, the way she says, like, these kids are going to die. Like the way she says it so certainly, like I know she's saying like she's trying to prepare her for when they actually do pass. But like the way she says it so certainly and the way like Anya comes back and is like, oh, it's a good thing because now you can say goodbye. And she's not like going towards maybe there's a chance you could survive. I don't know. That's what I found the most sketch about Stanton, that she's so certain these kids are going to die.
Yeah, my half-baked new idea is that she was involved somehow in the Paragon, went back to medical school, whatever, is now a legit healer, but also still kind of believes in the power of Brightcliff and whatever comes with it. So maybe she bought it, or maybe she's trying to protect against that specifically. I don't know. I can't.
Which is
so
why she doesn't like Shasta then.
Yeah.
That would make sense. Do we see her wrists? Do we see Stanton's wrists?
It's a great call.
Got that tattoo.
Damn, that'd be cool.
But we also found out, I think, for the first time, Anya's infliction that she has, which is sepsis. It's just a bacteria infection that's killing her own tissue within her own body. So we weren't wrong to have missed out on all of these like terminal illnesses. They've kind of been slow dripping them a little bit to us.
So sepsis isn't the terminal disease. Sepsis is what happens when infection comes. Yeah. Like when you go into sepsis, you can have any sickness and then sepsis like takes over your body and you get infection. So I still don't know. She says it right in the leg, something cancer in her leg. That's why she has to.
Oh, you're right.
When
she, you're right.
Yeah. But
I was a business major. I don't know anything about the bug.
I watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy. But Alanka gives a great little monologue here to Anya, who is in bed. She's asleep and not really responsive. Wanted Anya to like her. so much back then, but now all she wants to do is wake up and just fucking yell at her like always. She thanks her for calling her on her BS, for being her sister. She says, I love you. And she'll try to make peace with it if she has to go. And then Anya wakes up and is like, I want to live. And then Jenna's like, oh, we got to do anything we want to. We need to like make her live. So who she run to? Shasta Pasta.
Great.
The Shasta Pasta girl. And soon as she says Stanton said that you can't fight gravity, she's like, is that what that bitch said?
Yeah.
She immediately was like,
that sounds just like her.
Yeah. Everyone wants to shove needles and radiation in their face, but no, for thousands of years, we just want to ignore the nature that's around us that has been helping everybody for so long, and just like loses her mind. It's so funny. It's a great little monologue. I like that Shasta a lot.
That just gave me another half-baked theory that I just came up with right now. What if Shasta is the natural remedy OG Paragon Regina member? So she gets the super long life, which is explaining why she's young. And Stan is her daughter, Athena, which is why that they're so against each other, because the one doesn't want anything to do with Paragon while the other one is all in on these remedies, and she's facilitating it.
And even though Stan looks younger, she could actually be... I'm sorry, even though Stan looks older in, you know, real time, she could really be younger and the daughter. Yes.
Yep.
Fuck, ooh. Dude. I'm in.
I like that.
If she was 16 in 1940, that means she was and she didn't have any of the stuff that Regina had done to her to keep her young. She'd be like old as fuck.
She'd be like 60. Like, no, it's only 50 years later.
That means she'd be born in 24. And now
you just said she's 16 90. And 40. We skipped 50 years. So she's 66 ish, a little bit older. But that is a little bit on the edge of 70. Believability. She'd be like 70. But, you know, who knows?
Damn. They should have made her a little bit younger.
It's on the board, at least.
I like it. My brain's like, I'm doing all kinds of math.
Like, she kind of is just showing red flags of being suspicious since the first episode, just because like she's just telling you these crazy things. But the fact that she's always checking those freaking monitors is making me feel a little weird too. She's like, oh, I saw you on the monitor again, blah, blah, blah. Even though maybe Alanka was going out there to talk with her too, but that was just a sketch sign too. And I know we get sketch signs from everywhere, but I don't know how I feel about that.
I could just be making shit up off the top of my head, but like, I don't know exactly how time, if there's like a difference in how time flows in the woods or whatever, because she was talking about like the healing vortex. And I don't know if like the hourglass, I know we talked about the Paragon, you can turn it over and over, but like if that had time to do with it at all, just because we know probably there's something to do with aging, whether it's the rituals or, you know, being in this vortex area that she's talking about. I don't know. That's the only thing that I was getting with there. But when she was given the whole response to Stanton's, you can't fight gravity, and she's going off this great, giving this great speech about, you know, Luke already touched on it. Oh, that's considered crazy and this is normal. But really, you know, it depends on what time you're on. And then all of a sudden she says, like, you come here, you get that water, like, you're right. You'll need a little less than a gallon. And then I shot up and I was like, what? And she was like, we should also talk about the five sisters. I assume you've done your reading. And I'm like, whoa, 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 write this down. Like, she's basically just admitting that like, this is all completely right. And she's saying, how many women are there? It's like with us four up with me, I'm five. That's perfect. You're going to need five. And then we see the tattoo. And I was like, holy shit, all this information dump in 45 seconds, like out of nowhere. I was so hype.
But she does denounce the Paragon, saying like, this is an older and greater thing than the Paragon. So she is claiming that she's nothing to do with it.
Paragon was a phase.
So Luke, I do want to say to your, just to follow up on your comment about the monitor sketching you out, I'm thinking that Shasta / JJ truly sees something in Alanka and like wants Alanka to get there. Like, she finally sees someone. She keeps saying, I haven't bumped into anyone as smart as you in a really long time. Like, she saw something in Alanka right away. So I think she keeps like hoping that Alanka will get there. And to get there, she needs to come to Shasta, get the water. You know what I mean? I think so. It's more of a like,
so it's a good old fashioned House of the Dragon wardship kind of thing going on here.
Exactly. For sure. 100%. Yeah. So I think it's more of like a, she sees the potential and the like woo woo in Alanka, and she was right. So
yeah,
much woo woo to be seen. Classic slicing the hand, like every TV show I've ever seen, just grabbing a knife. Like, you will not catch me doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm sorry.
On the palm, you use your palm all the time. I don't use like a different part of my body than one that completely flexes.
It's always,
Freaking think about this. Naruto does it too. It's ridiculous. Like, dude, you flick my nose, I'll have a nosebleed. Boom, done.
All the blood you want, dude, right there.
All the blood, like, you want. I got extra blood. What the fuck?
Wait until I'm on my period and then we'll talk. Like, why?
That was just inappropriate.
Exactly. But regardless, they're cutting the shit out of themselves way too much. Like, I don't know.
With the same knife.
They talk about getting into it before they actually do the ceremony, right? Like, there's that one scene where they have to convince each other and then Sandra freaks out.
Yeah, she drops the F-bomb. She is serious.
And that makes sense coming from someone super religious. Like, you can't really convince someone to do devil worship kind of things.
And even Amesh was in the beginning. He was like, dude, I'm so happy you said you're scared because like, I'm like really scared, but I'm the new guy. I didn't want to say anything, but yeah, I'm really scared.
Yeah. Natsuki and the bad dream of Sandra's basically convince her. Natsuki's so sweet. I love that little cute little scene, but it convinces Sandra and she shows up. And another good thing that they covered up for us, because me and Jimmy and all of us at that point about the elevator, we were like, how'd they get back up? Someone must have gone down and got them. If they make us aware that there's no button later in the season, they can't just forget about earlier in the season how Anya, Kevin, and Alanka got back up. So someone must have went down and got them. But I'm glad they touched on that. That was
they
cool.
They touched on your guys' biggest gripes in your in the last podcast. Correct. So that's good that they cleared that up. And then I also, we can just open dialogue for the ritual too if we want. But I just want, this is the scene that I was talking about earlier where Kevin becomes, it's the opposite of a flag where he says, like, let's do it. Unless that is a flag.
Yeah, it's exactly a flag. That's what I'm going to say. Everybody's so scared. Everybody's saying, fuck this, fuck this. And then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, shit, they're not going into my evil plan. He's like, I'm in. You know what? And then he pulls them
off. Wow.
Yeah, so
I took that as a red flag off the bat. And somehow, because he's so charming, like Dusty is in every single one of his stories, he's so charming that he charmed everybody into saying yes. And I loved him. Amesh was just like, you said no, and then Natsuki said yes. So he was like, all right, fine, fuck him in. All technology looks like magic before we understand it anyway. And I was like, fucking, I love that line. You're in the 90s and you knew that. That's incredible.
Yeah. Here's the second Sherry line. Amazing. I guess I don't know what normal is because this all seems perfectly reasonable to me. Like, Sherry's wild. She's such a wild card. And that was my second favorite line by her. So fucking good. But anyway, let's talk about it. This
is
wild.
Let's just go right into this ritual thing because this is great. I did not think we were going to have this already with four episodes left. Like, that's, I really didn't think we were getting here. And I'm hoping that because we're escalating this much, especially with the end shadow kind of thing reaching out at Anya, that this means that we're still going to be getting every episode Midnight Club ghost story. And it doesn't just turn into, okay, like shit hitting the wall, like everything's crazy. Because I don't want that to happen yet, which is why I'm so surprised this happened so quickly, because it seems like something physically is going to happen right at the beginning of the next episode because the ritual worked.
Episode 7 is called Anya, so... it's literally just called Anya.
Wow. She's dead. That's wild. Yeah, I agree, Luke. Like, I was thinking, because obviously the last cliffhanger we got of Anya falling out of her chair, you know, the next 2 minutes of the next episode resolved it. So I was thinking, like, I really hope this is like a big cliffhanger moment. Like, the shadow's reaching out. I hope it's not going to just be like, you know, Anya opens her eyes the beginning of next episode and that's it. There's no shadow reaching out anymore. I hope all you're saying, there's an actual, you know, real life consequence, but
there will be, I think. Like, she's either going to be starting to like show signs of her terminal illness, like going away, or literally straight up, she'll be dead. I feel like one of those two things is going to happen over the next episode. And if she does die and they take that route, Anya's too important of a character where we're going to see her attempt to reach the living again. So I think one of those things is going to happen. Total guesswork, but we can talk more about that. But I do think we should definitely bring up each person's item that they use in the ritual.
I have it.
Do you have that written down? Okay, cool. Yeah, go for it.
So these were all like really touching tributes and sacrifices they made. Some of them I'm like, oh, you're really giving that up? Like, that's great. So Alanka gave a bracelet from her foster mom, Maggie. So confirmed, Maggie is the foster mom. Mm-hmm. And after she passed away, she made sure she touched the bracelet each day. So she gave that. Kevin gave a track medal, which he says signifies his freedom that he obviously no longer has. Spence gave a bunch of movie tickets that were from movies he saw with his mom, who he obviously does not have a good relationship with anymore. Sherry gave notes from a girl that was in her class that she wrote her of, and she says she was in love with her, but she's never told anybody that before. So that was really sweet. Love that reveal. Natsuki gave something from a car crash she survived, which I don't know.
Car keys.
I think it was like the thing dangling from like the rearview mirror. Either way.
Yeah, she says that any luck she had that day, she hopes it transfers to Anya. Amesh gave his favorite picture of his dad, which is really sweet. We know that he misses his parents so much. That's really fucking sweet. And the last one was Sandra, something from a boy she loved. I'm actually not sure what it was.
I think it was a girl. It was her best friend back in the day, and she didn't admit until now that she actually like loved her.
No, I think that's Sherry. Sandra.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Sandra does the one from the boy.
It's like a coin kind of thing, right?
He's something. Totally
yeah.
After the blood, because they needed the five sisters, Alanka also dumps the blood on.
And they're all like, who's that?
From Shasta. Yeah.
And she doesn't say. Did you take? And she doesn't say. So I'm like thinking at this point, does Alanka know that Shasta's name is actually Julia Jane? Do you think she shared that information? Because when she was giving her all this, Shasta cuts her hand, and then it cuts to Alanka trying to convince everybody. So I don't know if Alanka got more information from Shasta that she's not sharing with everybody else.
She must have, because how else would she have known the ritual without there being some off-screen conversation? But I don't know if it would have been as dramatic as saying like, hey, like wink, wink, I'm actually Julia.
I would hope so, but
Alanka would have said it to get them to buy.
Yeah.
She would have been like, guess who I'm at.
When she says, like, whose blood is that? She's not going to be like, oh, yeah, Shasta, this girl that I met out in the woods that you guys probably never met before. Like, yeah, that wouldn't make sense.
She did tell them about her earlier in the season. They're like, Shasta, that's not her name.
I've never been out there.
That's not her birth name.
Was it just her blood, or was there something else too? Like, did Shasta not need to put her thing in there? Like, something that was important to her? I thought originally it was like a natural healing. I didn't think it was blood originally. I originally thought it was like natural healing, something that Shasta would have cared about, and that would have been the tribute, and then the blood thing would have came in. But it seemed like that was the blood, right?
Yeah, it was definitely the blood.
All these tokens going into the fire, did that remind anybody else of the locket that Alanka found in the desk and Anya like kind of grabbed? It was Rachel's old one. And then the only reason I say that is because everybody had like such a these items held such meaning for these people. Like a locket obviously meant, it was a symbol of something that meant a lot to them, like way back in the day, because Anya's been around forever and this is how she pulls all the kids in. So I don't know. I just, all I'm saying is all those items being sacrificed remind me of the locket. And I don't know if that was an old one. Somebody sacrificed that to save Anya, and Anya does her shiesty shit and eats all their souls and then takes the locket and is like, hey, this is mine.
That's Tim Foyley. I like it.
Just a little bit.
It's the dumb waiter all over again.
But like, yeah, like what does the locket have to do? Like, I just want to know. Why do they spend so much time on it?
Yeah.
I want to point out that with the Spence thing, when he does the cut, like obviously they throw the comment in there about that you can't get it this way, but when they pour the water over her head, I was freaking out a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Like if Spence's AIDS blood was on your head and then you pour the water on it, like that is a legit way you could probably get AIDS, right?
Yes. If it goes into anything. Orifice. Yeah. Anything.
I was freaking out about that.
Spence pulled out his own pocket knife to like cut his head. They touch that.
I was going to wonder, like, I was like, are they just going to let him go last? Just let him go last, and then anybody else that tries this ritual in the future will literally die. But
it's a really sweet moment, though, when she's like, I wouldn't care even if it did. She's like, listen, brother, I'm dying right now. If I can get a few more months in, I'm cool with that. So
yeah, it was like really cute. Anya and everybody scenes, like they each had their individual moment coming up to, you know, put their blood on her, as weird as that sounds, but like it was a really cute moment every time.
We didn't even bring up the close warning that said don't in all caps. So we're gonna talk about that right now, because my original thought before we got any other conversations about it, like Sandra comes down and says, like, did you see anything weird down here?
Yeah.
I thought it was either Stanton or Sandra as my guess of who would have put it down there. But was like Sandra is taken off the board, right? Or was that like her way of being like, did you see any signs that I kind of just put down here to throw you off? Like, I can't really think. I feel like it wasn't Sandra.
Complete same thought process. I thought it was like a big omen. And then Sandra comes down and says that. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was Sandra trying to like dissuade her. Like that's initially what I thought, because Sandra's so weird about it.
Mm-hmm. So I thought the only reason she said that is because of the dream she has. So Sandra has this dream. She goes downstairs, she goes to talk to Alanka, and then it's almost like she gets taken by all these like cultist members thing. So I think Sandra was like trying to heed that as a warning, to be like, you didn't see anything weird down here first, right? And then Alanka's like, nah, dude.
So then what do you guys think?
Talk for me.
I think it's,
if it's not Sandra.
God, Kevin. No, not even Kevin. Not Kevin.
Can't be Kevin.
I don't know. I don't think it's any of the kids.
Was it the ghost that was over Anya, the one that was down there originally when Alanka went down there? Like, maybe the ghosts are team kids and anti-Paragon, and like they're just, maybe the ghosts are like the ritual. What it does is it traps your like soul there, and like they can't leave, and they're actually not evil. They're just like stuck there because of the ritual, and they're saying like, don't do this again, because everybody that's not being healed is basically going to be sacrificed to be like a living ghost. That's really the only thing I can get, unless Stanton is just this sketchy person that's somehow involved in this. I don't know, because it can't be Shasta. Interesting.
Can't believe I almost skipped over that. It's out of control. That was the coolest part.
I know, it was awesome, because she just tries to hide it right away.
Yeah, the only way to get down there is like the elevator, right? So like, they were all standing out there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's like a super secret tunnel that we don't know about yet. And Stanton's like creeping in the walls.
But yeah, I mean, something's happening. It's conjuring something. Anya's like pleading for more time, and then she's like, ah, shit. And then I did see the thumbnail for the next episode. I won't say anything, but it's kind of giving me an idea of what's to come.
What's happening? So I have a question.
Really. Not at all, actually.
So when I was reading my notes for episodes 1 to 2, and I don't think we ever got an answer, or maybe it was even 3, 4. And I was just listening to the pod and I wrote it down, but there was initials written next to the Paragon symbol GB. Yeah, it was the last podcast, because if me or Paul would have been on there, we would have made a gravity bomb joke, but we didn't. Like, I've been trying to rack my brain, like GB, like I was like, I'm always like listening for these, like, is it one of the Greek god references? Is it one of, like, I can't think of anything that GB is like popping up as, even like characters of any of these making ghost stories. Nothing sticks out. Do we have any guesses? Is there anything that, nothing?
My only guess was that once they get the book with all the Midnight Club and the meeting minutes being held, maybe there was a member with the name GB. Like, if I go back to that picture where they all signed their names, was there GB there? Don't remember anybody. Nobody comes to mind, but I'm waiting for one of the kids that Athena escaped with to like come back into play. I don't know why, but I am. It's never going to come back into play.
How about
the youngest one?
We have someone we went to school with. Her name was Regina, but her nickname that people called her was Gina. So G, but I don't know. Regina, G, Gina.
Okay. What was her last
name? That's all I got so far.
It was Regina. My friend.
If it ends with a B, game over.
Ballard.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
We're in.
Oh, it's Gina Ballard. It's Gina Ballard then.
Yeah.
Well, hell yeah. I'm in.
GB.
That's so sick. And that was on Shasta's land. That was not on the Brightcliff land, just so you know.
Which would make sense with the mother, with her being Regina and then Stanton being the daughter. Boom. Gina Ballard. This is Gina Ballard's land, Paragon land. fucking done.
Oh my
That was God. Absolute just like
team
magician.
Figured it out.
That was you're a that magician, was, Luke.
That was totally a joke about the Regina thing, but I did not anticipate the ballot. But they
you were like, if it starts with a B, fucking we're taking off.
It's Ballard. Let's fucking go. That's a
if
great
we see anywhere. Oh my God. Jimmy's gonna love that.
I know. That's perfect. That's gonna be it.
That's all I believe, like 95% in on that.
That any was, other I, final I theories?
Are you kidding me? You want me to try and top that?
I know, right? I was just asking. We good then?
On the board, does Anya die? Like in the next episode because of the ritual specifically?
I hope not. I hope she gets cured and Alaka and her walk out cured. But I'm going to say no. Because I said she was going to be the first one to die after episode 2. But now she's gone all through this. I'm like, nah, she's good. She's not going to die.
I don't know that the kids will ever forgive Alaka if she dies after doing this like wonky thing. And same thing as Sandra was like, maybe don't bring a bunch of immunocompromised kids into a dirty ass basement and put your blood all over her. Yeah. I mean, she didn't say that end part, but I'm saying the end part. So I'm going to guess she is going to die. I don't want that, but I'm going to just put that on the board. Yes.
And I'm going to stick with what I said earlier that I think it's the opposite where I think she'll actually start to be cured slowly where they're going to think like nothing happened. And then it just slowly starts. She gets better. We'll find out.
All right. That's our episodes 5 and 6 of the Midnight Club. If you like what you heard, give BingeTown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Go check out our many other shows we're covering and have covered in the past on anywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple. Anyway, we're covering House of the Dragon currently, Rick and Morty, and The Vampire Academy on Peacock, which is a brand new show. If you want to go check out and you're wanting to do some spooky vampire shit on Halloween, it's a great show. Yeah, that's all I got. We are BingeTown TV. And thanks for listening.
Hail Satan.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.